Good morning. Welcome to London Road Baptist Church. My name is Mel, and I will be leading us through a time of prayer, praise, and reflection this morning. Our Pastor Neil will be speaking to us and encouraging us later as we listen in on the Apostle Paul's prayers. Through Jesus, we can humbly approach God our Father in freedom and confidence. So let's just be still for a moment as we pray alongside some of the words of Paul. Lord God, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We humbly come before you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, be with us, fill us. Dwell deeply in our hearts. Give us a real knowledge of your presence. Water our roots so that we can grow in you that little bit more. Strengthen us right in our inner being. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Give us a glimpse of heaven.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
As Paul prayed for the Ephesians, so we pray this morning. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. There are so many people that I am thankful for. Who are the people that you are so thankful for? As you remember them, open your heart. Hold out your arms and imagine just grabbing them tightly to you. Giving them a hug and cherishing them. And thanking God for each one of those people that you are thankful for. Thank him by their names. Just name them before him now. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of all these people you have put in my life. For the people that you put in our lives. For each of my brothers and sisters in you. And for all of us worshipping this morning, I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. For each of you, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. As we sing and pray, Lord, be high and lifted up. You are exalted above all things. Your works are too wonderful to understand. We gaze in awe and wonder. All power and authority is yours. Let the whole earth be filled with your glory. We praise you with the words of Isaiah. God is high and lifted up. He lives forever. His name is holy. He says, I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with people who are humble and sorry for their sins. I will give new life to those who are humble in spirit. I will give new life to those who are sorry for their sins. Lord, we are shameful of the times we have let you down. We make ourselves vulnerable before you. Examine my heart. I am sorry. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Lord, help us to be obedient to you.
I want to
give us self-control. Don't let us slip back into our old ways. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. You call us to be holy in everything we do. Be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. Make us more and more aware of your holiness.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Us, pour out your power and love on us. May we shine with your glory. We want to radiate your love and light. Make us more like you, our holy, holy, holy Lord.
Oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Clothed in rainbows of living colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings.
You are my living water. Take everything, Lord, because you are my everything. I adore you, Lord. I give up my life for you. All I am, Lord, I offer to you. I belong to you. As you said to your disciples, and you say to us as your disciples, I must give up my own way, give you my all and follow your way. For those that give up their life will find it in you. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, worthless, that I may gain Christ. Take my life, Lord. Everything I have is yours, because you are worth it all.
Just to have. is yours. All that I am, all that I have is yours. All that I am, all that I have is yours. All that I am, all that I have is yours. Just to have all of you, and no matter what the cost, I will follow you. Jesus, everything I've lost, I have found in you. When I finally reach the end, I'll say, you
Lord, you are worth it all. Thank you. Now, Amy is going to come and tell us about her life in lockdown.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Amy, and I've been a member of London Road Baptist Church for nearly 2 years. I've been asked to share with you about my life in lockdown. When we went into lockdown in March last year, I was volunteering. Suddenly, I had no work. The meetings I attended online went online, and I couldn't meet up with family and friends. Everything changed in the blink of an eye. However, I thought, what never changes? And the answer was God. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So that's what I decided to do, to spend my free time drawing closer to God. I did volunteer at Witten Life on the food bank and was blessed enough to start volunteering 3 days a week at the Central Food Bank, which is great. It gave me a routine and I'm surrounded by other Christians. Our service went online and I joined a house group which meets up on Zoom. As well as meeting for share and prayer, we had social activities on Zoom and when restrictions allowed, met up in person. I found the fellowship very important due to living on my own. In the summer last year, I was asked if I wanted to go back to my other voluntary job. After praying and meditating around this, I heard, "This is not my plans for you. Create space and trust me." I was scared to do this, but after talking to someone else, I did just that, "Thy will be done." A few weeks later, Phyllis, our church secretary, asked me if I wanted to come and help in the church office with a new sheet, and of course I said yes. My mum has been very ill in the past year, and I have spent time at first going to visit and support her in a bungalow, and then once restrictions allowed, visiting mum in a care home, which she moved into in December. At times I found this very hard, watching mum get sicker and not being able to visit her in a care home to start with, then visiting behind a screen and eventually having close contact visits with full PPE. Throughout this time, though, I've been completely supported by God and members of the church. Sometimes I'd get to the end of the day and think, how have I got through the day? But I know how. God has always been there holding my hand, and when I felt overwhelmed, I know as he has held me in the palm of his hand. I'd just like to thank all the church members who have been praying for my mum, and especially the prayer chain and my house group. In my spare time, I've been for many walks and in the summer spent time on the beach and swimming in the sea. I feel very lucky to live in Lowestoft on the coast. I've seen my family when restrictions are allowed and even went on holiday last year with my dad and dog on the Norfolk coast, which was wonderful. I have found lockdown challenging with everything going on in my life. However, there have been positives. Getting to know members of the church more, especially on Zoom meet and greet on a Sunday morning before the service. Working with my running partner, Jess, who helps me with my Christian stuff, my voluntary work, and continued support from family and friends, whether that be in person or on video calls and Zoom. And I give thanks for my journey, to God for my journey. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything that you do for us, and I lift up the church and all its members to you. We especially pray for those watching today who have not come to know you yet. May they come to know your loving presence, Lord. We pray for the leadership team at this busy time as the church begins to open up again and we start to meet up in groups and for the services in the garden. We remember Jen and Fern in our prayers and the children of the church in Lowestoft. Lord, we pray for the Alpha team and the 24/7 prayer team and for everyone attending the courses. May they come to know you. We lift up Witten Life and the team to you, Lord, for the work they are doing in the community and as they start to open their doors to Witten and the people of Lowestoft. We pray for the church to be a shining light over Lowestoft, and we lift up the chaplaincy team to you. Lord, we pray for revival in this town, the country and the world. In Jesus' name, amen. The reading today is Ephesians 3:12-21. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Amy. That was really helpful. And thanks again to the band. Well, we're continuing looking at this prayer theme together, but before I just unpack that wonderful piece of text that Amy read to us, let me just mention something to you. What you can't see, what I can see, is I'm now stood on a building site, and that means that we are refurbishing this sanctuary, and we've done as much as we can do live streaming with the premises as they are, but contractors are coming in tomorrow, so we will not have this sanctuary for the next 5 weeks. That means we cannot live stream. So if you are watching us this morning, this will be the last live stream for 5 weeks. However, you can listen to us because we're going to be recording our services, and if you want to attend the service with us, then do join us. We are stepping out in faith. We're hoping it's going to be sunny for the next 5 weeks. And for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're meeting in our garden and we're having an outside service. And that begins next Sunday with Pentecost Sunday. So you can book. We still need, because of COVID legislation, you need to book. But you are welcome to join us in person. So from next Sunday, you can't join us on live stream, but you can join us in person and you are welcome, or you can join us with an audio which we will continue to transmit through our services. And then hopefully in 6 weeks' time, we're all going to meet again here in a fantastically refurbished auditorium, and people like Ray will be all refurbished as part of the scheme and smartened up, and others as well. So everybody will have a makeover. Well, Paul says these words, doesn't he? Let's just put the first slide on, please. Listening in on Paul's prayers. That's what I've called this morning. We were listening in earlier on Jesus's prayers, and Paul says these things. He says, I pray, and Mel mentioned that, or Mel mentioned in part of her leading, where Paul says, I kneel before the Father. Now, Paul says that he prays. It's a simple question to contextualize my sermon. Do you pray? Now, I know we all say we do pray, but I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you this morning and say, do you pray? Not do you agree with prayer, not do you think prayer is a good idea, because I sign up to all that and I'm speaking to myself. Do you actually pray? Do I pray? Because the New Testament assumes that Christians pray. And born-again Christians certainly do pray. Let me say, there's no point in talking about prayer and not practicing prayer. You actually do more harm. You become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, and so you know where you fall short. So there's a real call for us to pray. Now, we're looking as a leadership and we're looking as a church for initiatives to pray. Now, if you're a lady, let me just encourage you. Two wonderful ladies in our congregation, Maddie and Di, feel burdened to get the ladies to come out and pray. And so please join them. It's in the notices. The 19th of May, they organised a prayer meeting again. Then you'll have to say, like the Apostle Paul, I pray. I kneel before the Father. Ray has started working really hard with other men in the church, and he runs a men's Bible study. That will develop into prayer. If you're a man, contact Ray. And so we've got to learn not just how to preach and teach and learn about prayer. The real challenge us as believers here at London Road Baptist Church is to practice prayer. So let's put up the first slide, please, Janet, and let's look and work through this. In him and through him, we may approach. Only through Jesus. There is only one mediator, Paul says, when he writes to Timothy. There is only one mediator. There is only one way that you can approach God in prayer, and that is through Jesus Christ. So I want to say to you, look, if you're a non-believer today, I know it sounds harsh what I'm going to say, but if you babble along and don't include Jesus with your prayers, then there's nobody hearing those prayers. And that's why Jesus talked about people babbling, where we get the word Babel from. And Babel, if you remember, was that tower in the Old Testament where people never understood what they were saying. And if you go to God without going through Jesus, then the Bible says he doesn't hear. So it says there is one mediator that we may approach God, and he says that there with freedom and confidence. Don't be frightened of God. It was wonderful yesterday. I saw my grandkids. They approach me, I hope, with freedom and confidence, because they're always after something, and they're always after something from Grandma. You can approach God like my grandkids hopefully approach me, like Ray's grandkids approach him, like Malcolm's grandchildren approach him, with freedom, not fearful, exciting. So to him and through him, in him, only through Jesus, one mediator, we may approach God in freedom and confidence. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? What is that word confidence means? It means that he's going to answer our prayers. Confident, he's going to answer. How sad it is when we think God may answer, when God commits himself to answer. And therefore, let's move on. Let's have a look. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus from prison in Rome, and he's saying, look, the hassle that I'm experiencing in prison, yes, I'm in prison. I don't want to be here. Thanks for caring about that. Thank you for my concern. But my hassle is insignificant compared with what I'm sharing. And so God can use where I am to write to you, but don't look at the hassle that I'm having and miss the bigger picture of the God who I'm declaring. A bit like Amy. Amy's had hassle during lockdown, but what she wants you to understand when she shared a bit of a testimony, that God's blessing is by far greater than her hassle. And that's what Paul is saying. And then we get to the next one, please, Janet. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And so, like I said, there's that sense in which Paul takes a Jewish position sometimes of kneeling. Let me just say that in prayer, it is sometimes important for you to have a posture. And I know that might sound a bit Anglican or whatever, but sometimes to set a place apart, to have a kneeling station, to do something, means you're taking this serious. You're not just entering the presence of God with your head. You're not doing that flippantly. Let me just encourage you to do that. If you know, maybe just on the night before you go to bed, you may be embarrassed to do this if you've got people, because it's a strange thing, it's prayer, that sometimes we feel embarrassed to pray. It's because it's a spiritual warfare thing. But try kneeling. Try standing. Try putting your arms up. I think Mel said part of early on in the leading, said, put your arms out. You know, if you're going to pray for somebody, mimic hugging that person. If you're going to talk to Jesus, mimic Jesus being there. Do something, involve the physical body as well as a spiritual mind. And so that's what Paul does. I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth. Now the church is both the living and the dead. If you're a born-again believer, you're either going to be with Christ on earth or you're going to be with Christ in heaven. There is no purgatory. There is no middle ground. Once you are a Christian, you are part of the church, and you have the assurance that you will be with Jesus this side of your death, after your death, because when you're born again, you cannot die, you change your location. That is all what the church is. The church is the living and the dead. We do not pray to the dead. We do not pray through the dead. But the church is the living and the dead. And that's what Paul wants to do. And the whole church derives its name from this Jesus, from this God. And then he says these words, that I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so this Holy Spirit is not worked for, it's sent. But it's not given out of God's riches, it's given according to God's riches. Let me explain the difference between giving out of richness and giving according to riches. If I'm a millionaire, well, I'm not, so I'm going to try and... If I've got £1,000 and I choose to give Liz £100, this is only, Liz, this is only an illustration. Yeah, okay. So if I have £1,000 and I give Liz £100, I am giving Liz £100 out of my riches. That leaves me how much, Liz? Excellent, Liz. So I have given Liz out of my riches. I have £900. Liz has £100. If I'm a multi-billionaire, and I give Ray £10 million, I'm giving him according to my riches. It's a big difference. God owns everything. Liz gets £100 out. Ray gets billions of pounds according. And what Paul wants you to understand, that the resources of God are limitless, and he shares his limitless resources according to his riches, which are, what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody help me. When it's massive. Immense, that's a good word. Out of his immense, his never-ending riches. They are limitless. And what God can do in your life and how he can pour his spirit into your life and give you power and authority is limitless. It is according to his riches, which are limitless, infinite. That's a better word. So that Christ may dwell. Now, this is an interesting thing. If I go to a hotel, I stay in a hotel. But I dwell in my house. And what Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit needs to be comfortable in your life. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. But the question is this. Not is the Holy Spirit in you, does he dwell in you? Is he comfortable and at home in your life and in your lifestyle? That's where you get that understanding of do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's possible for the Holy Spirit to be in you, but not dwelling in you in the sense that the Holy Spirit is at home with your lifestyle and your behavior. And what Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit wants to be comfortable. So you're not a hotel, you're a home. You're a dwelling place. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now the dwelling place of God has become you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul would use euphemisms and explain it like that. And I just want to ask you that. And I ask myself that. Has the Holy Spirit been comfortable in dwelling in me the last week? Or has there been times when you thought, oh gosh, this is a bit iffy. This is a bit iffy. I don't feel I want to be here. Have you ever been in the presence of an inappropriate person? Well, yes, you have, me. No, that came out wrong. But you know what it's like, don't you? To be in the presence and you think, gosh, I can't believe they're saying that. Gosh, I hope they don't crack that. Or have you got an embarrassing in-law that you hope doesn't speak at your wedding? It's one of them cases. God wants to be comfortable with you. And in your behavior, he wants to dwell in you. And then Paul goes on. And I pray that being rooted. Now, rooted is an agricultural term. It means to be mature. I want you to be rooted and mature about all this. And established. And in the Greek, the word established is an architectural term. It means of good foundations. God wants... And so Paul is praying that in all of this spirituality, that we are rooted, we are deep in this, that we are established. And he's using agricultural and architectural terms in the Greek. In love, good foundations, and may have the power. Now, it's Pentecost Sunday next week, and remember the word for the power of the Holy Spirit is dynamis, where we get the word dynamite from, explosive, and may have the power, this dynamis power, together with all the saints. That is so important. This is your inheritance. This is your potential. I am not talking to myself. I'm just not talking to the band. I'm not talking to those wonderful people helping produce this service this morning on the technical desk in front of me. Paul is saying this is for all the saints, for all those who claim to be Christian. This is your destiny. This is your potential. Do not think there is the first. I cannot stand football. I'm looking at Mark in front of me in his training little outfit. It's really annoying. It's like looking at Sporty Spice in the Spice Girls. But football, they had this thing the other day. It bores me stupid, but they were going to have a Super League. Am I right with that? There were some professional clubs that said, we are the best, and we're going to have an elite team, an elite league. There is no elite league in the kingdom of God. We are brothers and sisters. There is no slave. There is no free man. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile. We're all one. No Super League. And this is your potential. So it says, together with all the saints, you are a saint. You may not act like one, because you don't let the Holy Spirit dwell in you, but you are a saint. And every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future as a saint. Together with all the saints, for you to grasp Now, there's an interesting word for you to know and for you to grasp. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is offered. But the Holy Spirit needs to be taken. God will never force himself upon you. A good marriage of understanding. That's why in marriage, you say, do you want to be married? And that person says, yes. And then the other person says, do you want to be married to them? And they say, yes, otherwise it's called a shotgun wedding. God says yes to you, but do you say yes to him? And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at that next week. So when the Holy Spirit is offered, it has to be taken. And when it's taken, how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ? And then he goes on. Let's just move on. I may have the power without to suppress the knowledge. Let me just go. I've just lost my notes. Forgive me. Just go back one, please, Janet. That's me. I may have the power together with all the saints, that's you and me, to grasp, to take hold of how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And what Paul is saying here is, it's just not a heartfelt thing. It's not just happens in your heart. God has given you a brain to think. Do not think that things of the Holy Spirit mean you throw your brain away. Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly use. And so what Paul is saying is that you can know this, but this love and this whole understanding of your destiny and the potential and the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit surpasses human knowledge. It is so big. The fact that God loves me and has chosen me, I can't get my head around it because I wouldn't choose myself. But the Bible says that this gift of grace, this gift of love, is greater than the logic of our hearts. At times, you will not feel that God loves you. You will mess up and you will feel that you have ruined it. That is human knowledge. Divine knowledge is saying, I love you. You can't do anything so bad to make God love you less. You can't do something so good to make him love you more. That's human knowledge, proportional grace. Divine knowledge is unconditional grace and total giving. That you may be filled. Now that's to the top. It says you, and then Paul uses an extra little indication, you may be filled to the full measure. Now I don't know if you're like me, but I take my coffee back at Costa when they don't fill it right up. And I take my coffee back at McDonald's. And I don't know if you've been like me, but 99 pence or not, I ain't paying 99p for half a cup. I'm a Yorkshireman. And I take it back and I say, hey, hold on, fill it up. And they fill it to the full measure. That's what I've paid for. That's my inheritance. I've paid them 99 pence. I paid Costa £2.40 odd for the same, but I want it filling up. And that's how God wants you. He wants you filled to the full measure. Your destiny is to be a fully functional, spirit-filled Christian, filled to the top. To the full measure of the fullness of God. How do you get the full measure of God? By emptying yourself of self and ungodliness. Removing in those in your life and me removing in my life those things that prevent a fulfilling, those things that prevent the Holy Spirit dwelling, going back to what Paul said earlier, and feeling at home in your life and my life. Massive potential. Now, I want to tell you that. I don't know if you've ever been in a Rolls Royce showroom. Now, if you go in most showrooms, well, Mark, sorry, I'm picking on Mark a bit this morning, but he's there, it is available, so I'm going to. But Mark is a car salesman, but a high-up one, let me just say. He's a sales manager, and I'll give his company a little plug, Mark, and I hope I get recognised for this. But he works for Hammond's Commercials in Halesworth. And if you go into Hammond's commercials in Halesworth, they will have the price of the cars on the windscreen. So as you go in, you will see a Zuzi pickup, £32,000. If you go into a Rolls-Royce showroom, they don't put the prices on the Rolls-Royces. Because if you need to ask the price, you can't afford it and you shouldn't be there. God gives to you all of his richness, all of his fullness. And he promises you unlimitless costs associated in doing his work, limited resources and power when the Spirit dwells and feels at home in your life. Don't settle for something with a price tag on when God rips a price tag up and says, this is your inheritance. You can have all this lot if you make me at home and allow me to dwell in your life. And understand that this is for all people, not just a super league. And then Paul gets to the end of this little prayer, and he sort of bursts in to a little hymn. And this verse 20 here and verse 21 is called a doxology. And a doxology is a liturgical formula of praise. It's a first century worship song. And so he gets all excited. He says, this is what I'm praying for you. And he nearly bursts out into song. And he says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, imagine, according to his power that is working us, to him be the glory, the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's as if Paul's writing his letter and he's getting really excited and he's just writing to the Ephesian church. And at the end, the penny drops for him. He says, oh, this is beyond belief. Whoa, I'm going to sing a song of praise. Paul got excited about this letter he wrote to the Ephesians. And and it's Trinitarian. Paul prays to God the Father concerning the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit available through God the Son. And so he says, now to him that is able to do all, to him who is above all, to him who is abundantly above all, to him who is exceedingly abundantly above all. And then he uses this wonderful word, amen. And do you know what amen means? It just means so be it. So this is an invitation when we learn from Paul for us to be what God has called us to be. Fully functioning, Spirit-filled Christians with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, feeling comfortable in our lives. Being filled to the measure. And having resources beyond our comprehension, because this God is going to share all that he is according to his riches, not out of his riches. And I hope you got something out of what I've shared with you this morning. Thanks.
So before our final song, I'd like to just share with you an illustration from a commentary on Ephesians 3. Chris Langham considers verse 18, that we may grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. How can we grasp it? How can we comprehend it and take hold of it and make it our own? How can we wrap our brains around it? It's just so big. He says, I was sitting at the beach staring at the Pacific Ocean. Well, we could look out on, sit on Lowestoft Beach and have a look out at the North Sea. It was vast and wider than I could ever see. And I was reading this verse. Now, my love is probably about the size of my heart. which I've heard is about the size of my fist. And I looked at my fist, and I looked at the ocean, and I considered the width and length and depth of Jesus' love. The Pacific Ocean is about 12,000 miles across and 96,600 wide. It runs as deep as 36,000 feet. How could I possibly know a love as great as Jesus? How could I grasp it with a heart so small? Paul prays that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, know from experience. You can't fit it in your heart or your brain, but you can live in it. You can sink your roots into it and let it run through your heart to reach others. God's love is as vast as the ocean. May God make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. May you really experience the love of Christ. May you be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. May you be kept strong and rooted in his love. And now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we ever could ask or imagine, through her power at work in us, to him be all glory in the church and in Jesus the anointed, from this generation to the next, forever and ever. Amen.